society at the moment, I believe, is in a state of free fall collapse. And it's not just free falling economically, it's also doing so in the health of the people, and it's also doing so in the minds of the people. So IQs have dropped sharply. As we all know, you take a test that was given to a 7-year-old or something like that way back in the day, a couple of hundred years ago. Even educated PhD adults today would fail those tests. Such is the method that we've slipped, right? And I've kind of concluded that this is not an accident. Whenever you have a tyrannical dictator, whether they be a group or an individual, they often seek to dumb down the population, to restrict their access to food, nutrition, nutrients, things of that nature, which would help their brains develop. And in so doing, those people are so deliberately dumbed down that they're simply incapable of even realizing that there is a direct agenda. And conversely, there are people who have woken up to this agenda who don't realize how dumbed down they still are. And they don't realize that you can be pushed, even if you think it's you're doing the truth and the right thing, right into their hands. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally get it. I think you're right on there. I mean, and this is par for the course of this postmodern, you know, condition. And it's not surprising that you'd hear people inviting it, or, I mean, who isn't tempted? Who doesn't want to have bonus status? Who doesn't want to get preferred treatment? Who doesn't want to come into a place and feel like they're, you know, they're going to get the best service that there is? You know, I mean, isn't that enticing to everyone? Isn't that inviting? It's just a question of what it costs. What's the cost for that? You know, I mean,
my perspective on this is different. I mean, I look at a millionaire who's got $1 million in the bank, but only 2 or 3 people really in his life will do anything for him. I want to, my form of wealth that I want to have is 2 or 3 bucks in the bank, but 1 million people will do anything for me.
Well, it's strange. You know, go ahead, Jay.
It staggers me about, like, just recently the political campaigns. I mean, how anyone in their right mind can donate money. If you like the analogy you made, if you have $1 million, if you have $1 million and you're donating $30,000 to Mitt Romney, I mean, don't you think you should maybe take a time out there and rethink the way you're spending that money? I'm sure there's a 100,000 better causes that $30K could go to than Mitt freaking Romney, you know? That's
yeah, they really wanted to impress people with a real, you know, presidential campaign, right? Take this. I heard something like $6 billion has been raised or was raised for the campaign. So give each of those candidates $3 billion each and tell them to go solve some problems in America. Whoever does the best with the money, that's the guy who ends up being president. I mean, that would be an actual effective campaign. But yeah, we're dealing with a reality where it's disgusting. It's disgusting that they would spend that kind of money on advertising, and basically they spend a lot of that money paying people off to get their votes. They literally buy votes with that money too. It's not just, you know, advertising.
Well, apparently bribing politicians is one of the most profitable endeavors that mankind has ever actually concocted, because if you have $1 billion interest and you give $1 million, which is 1/1,000th of your wealth, to bribe a politician, he can in turn create legislation out of obligation to you to make you $2 billion.
Yeah, that's absolutely the name of the game. You're absolutely right. But I wanted to come back around to what we were saying about your perception of wealth and the wealthy. You know, the idea of a millionaire and what his options are. I am in a unique position, being raised in an area that's like a resort area that attracts a lot of wealth, that first started bringing wealth around here back in the 20s. before the Depression hit, you know, when the boom of America back then, they built these giant resort hotels right on the shore, and a lot of wealthy people bought up land around those hotels and, you know, built big houses, and we come to the present day. But what it's been is an experience for me growing up with my family having companies that are basically they're caretakers for the estates of these wealthy people. And it's a good life in an area around here. You get paid really well to be a caretaker for these wealthy people, let me tell you. But having that experience, I've been raised around wealthy people growing up. And, you know, one of the things I've always found fascinating about people who are worth like hundreds of millions of dollars is how inept they seem, how seemingly incompetent they are with everyday life. I mean, they require a team of specialists to, you know, navigate their way through their everyday life. I remember watching a man who basically his family owned USA Today newspaper, you know, which was like a worldwide newspaper back in the day. It's suffered now, but back in the day it was huge. This guy couldn't assemble a basic barbecue, you know, like a grill that you'd put in your backyard to do some cooking with, you know, to do some grilling with. He could not put these aluminum legs on this barbecue, man, for the life of him. And I'm watching him. It's like watching a monkey trying to hump a football. You know what I mean?
That is a nice image. He's the $100 million monkey football humping man.
You know what I mean? And that's just a little taste of what I'm talking about, a little picture of the kind of experiences you get. And you start to like, it really, I think, creates a certain bitterness, a certain cynicism when you realize
hold on. But there's two types of wealthy people, those who were born to it and those who created it.
Okay, you got me there. But, you know, the funny thing is that those who create it only usually last one or two generations at tops.
Well, that's true. And James, you have a story about this. You indeed come from a family that was practically ridiculed because way back in the day you had some kind of an ancestor who made it big. But since then, everybody's been kind of just going downhill until just recently with yourself and I think it was your uncle who was murdered as well. You kind of broke free of this sort of family curse.
Yes, miraculously I did, and I thank God every day for it. It seems like for the past two, because I come from very, very old money, and the past two generations have just, you know, been the types to spend their millions unwisely, and we've been plagued with drug problems and other troubles with the law amongst my cousins and everything. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's just something that I can't associate with or participate in, especially after my aunt came to me while I was in pre-publication with New Falcon over the book and told me to burn it and not publish it because she said it would embarrass the family and blah, 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 blah. And I said, you know, well, this family suffered so many embarrassments over its time. I doubt I could ever attempt to pull off anything like my dear sweet cousins have. So, you know, we sort of agreed to disagree on that. And it's just sort of a non-issue now. We don't discuss it. And she's definitely not happy about it. She was a daddy's girl. Daddy was a 33rd. The mentality she grew up going as a child to the Scottish Rite, you know, to watch him and various degree vignettes and everything put on for the public. And so she has a great deal of admiration for that. And she also has Alzheimer's. So I can understand how she can remember that stuff, but not necessarily what happened once it became my turn. And so, you know, it's just a sad situation all around. And then in January, after we found out my cousin was murdered, that was pretty much it for me because he and I were the only two to ever move away. And now, strangely enough, I'm living about 30 minutes from where he did. So I've kind of been coping with that finally. And, you know, life goes on. And, you can either rise above it and break the cycle or just fall right into it. And the thought of falling into that sickness in my family is just, I'd rather be dead, you know.
Now, there are some who would say that you took individual responsibility for your own life and your own actions, and you carved a better path for yourself. Therefore, anybody who doesn't do that exact thing, carve a path for themselves, should be exterminated because they're useless.
Well, my spiritual attitude is, you know, we all incarnated here on this planet at this time. We all have something to do to help the world revolve on its axis, you know, whether that's cleaning floors somewhere or writing legislation or whatever. We all do our part. No one is more important than the next person.